WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Researchers now predict Virginia's COVID-19 deaths will peak on April 22nd. That's almost a month earlier than previous predictions. Governor Northam may delay some long-sought Democratic priorities, including collective bargaining for local government workers, until he knows more about the pandemic's effect on the economy. And I talk shop with Elliot Robinson of Charlottesville tomorrow. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 8th. As of this morning, more than 3,300 cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in Virginia. 563 people have been hospitalized and 63 have died. Many of those deaths, 28 as of Monday, are at one rehab and health center near Richmond, where two-thirds of the residents have tested positive for the virus. Governor Ralph Northam has asked Virginians to stay at home, except those who have to go to work or for essential trips to the store or the pharmacy. Researchers at the University of Washington now predict Virginia's COVID-19 deaths will peak on April 22nd, and that is almost a month earlier than their past predictions. Ben Pavier with our partner station, VPM, reports.
The University of Washington researchers say they have more data from Europe and better information on the effects of social distancing. But Governor Ralph Northam says he's relying on a number of models.
They change literally every day depending on the data that is put into them. And so we haven't made any adjustments by what we're seeing.
Northam has said he expects the pandemic to peak here sometime in late April through the end of May. But he says that could change. The state has been working with researchers at UVA on their own projections. Those are set to be released on Wednesday.
Ben Pavier with VPM reporting. Governor Northam plans to delay some long-sought Democratic priorities until he knows more about the pandemic's effect on the economy. Clark Mercer, the governor's chief of staff, said Tuesday that Northam is pushing back decisions on whether to give teachers and state workers raises, to freeze in-state college tuition, and to implement other new spending in the budget recently passed by lawmakers. Mercer said that too little is known about the impact of the coronavirus outbreak on state revenues to move ahead now with billions of dollars in new spending, much of which would carry over into future years. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has more on whether to give teachers and state workers raises.
Employees of local governments and school systems across Virginia are prohibited from collective bargaining, although Governor Ralph Northam is now considering a bill that would overturn that prohibition. Now that the economy is in trouble, though, the Virginia Municipal League is asking him to delay that effort. Chris Brundlich at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says now is not the time.
There's going to be horrible unemployment, particularly among low-income people, part-timers, people in the gig economy. And we need to be passing things that are going to help get us out of it. I don't think the collective bargaining bill will do that.
But now is the best time to take action, says Tyrone McCutcheon, a custodian at Alexandria City Public Schools.
This is going to get down to crunch time eventually. And we all know when we get down to crunch time, we always start from the bottom, work your way up. So I like to have it now so I can have something set in place where it's going to be fighting for me once that time comes.
The governor has to take action this week, even as he navigates Virginia's response to the pandemic. I'm Michael Pope.
The Virginia Science Museum will host Virginia's Senate in 2 weeks. Susan Schar, the clerk of the Senate, made the announcement to senators on Monday via email. Schar says a pavilion at the museum will allow plenty of space for physical distancing. The General Assembly is set to meet for a special veto session on April 22nd. Lawmakers have been looking for alternative sites to avoid spreading the coronavirus. A spokesperson for Speaker of the House, Eileen Fillercorn, says she wants that chamber to meet somewhere outdoors, but a venue has yet to be announced. Democratic State Delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy has filed paperwork to run what could be a history-making campaign to become Virginia's first woman governor and the first African-American female governor in the United States. Foy, an attorney and two-term member of the House of Delegates, has not held a formal campaign kickoff, but the Virginia Department of Elections website shows that she registered a gubernatorial campaign committee last Friday. That filing was first reported by the Virginia Mercury. If Foy were to win next year's race, the 38-year-old would be only the second woman ever elected to statewide office in Virginia. The first was Mary Sue Terry, who served as attorney general in the late 1980s and early 90s. Foy grew up in Petersburg and was among the first women to graduate from the traditionally all-male Virginia Military Institute in Lexington. She spent much of her career as a public defender. She represents the 2nd House District covering parts of Prince William and Stafford counties. Gun sales are surging in Virginia during the coronavirus pandemic. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported Monday that the Virginia Firearms Transaction Center recorded more than 80,000 transactions in March. That is a 75% spike over the same month last year and is the highest total for any month on record since state police started tracking purchases in 1990. Researchers at the University of Virginia say doctors can now use genetic data to better treat cancer and many other diseases. Charles Fishburne with partner station VPM reports.
Aninya Dutta, chair of the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Genetics, says they have mined data on 10,000 cancer cases and identified inherited variations in our genes that can predict patient outcomes.
I suspect this approach can be extended to a many, many common diseases ranging from hypertension, diabetes, or even the current COVID-19 epidemic.
He says it can help determine which treatment will work best for individual patients, and he is eager to share his findings with researchers in private industry to apply to other diseases. It is possible because of breakthrough genetic research in the human genome. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, as part of our ongoing conversations with WMRA's local news partners during the COVID-19 pandemic, I spoke with Elliot Robinson, news editor at Charlottesville Tomorrow. The conversation started with Elliot's description of their coverage of how local nonprofits are dealing with the loss of funding during the pandemic.
Our idea for writing the story was because the Charlottesville and Albemarle County area has a wealth of nonprofit organizations here, and some of them do some of the functions that in some larger cities would be taken care of by their government. So they play a crucial role here. And some of them run on a cycle of they do their yearly fundraising or their first major fundraising push in the spring. And we were all about to ramp things up here. So that really just resonated with us that these organizations, especially the ones that are on the ground and helping with feeding children during spring break and providing other resources are quickly heading towards dire financial straits because they haven't had those traditional fundraisers or their funders are a little bit worried about how things will shake out for them for the rest of the year.
You know, I think one important service that local news outlets can provide these days is taking big national stories and explaining how they impact our communities. And I think a good example of that is a Charlottesville Tomorrow report this week on what the big $2 trillion CARES Act passed by Congress is doing for small businesses in our area, in particular, how it may be helping them protect their payrolls.
Yeah, that was one thing that also stuck out with us, because along with there being a wealth of nonprofits in the Charlottesville area, we also feel like we are an epicenter of small businesses. We have a lot of graduates from the University of Virginia who stick around and they start their companies here, so you can throw a rock and hit five businesses that have 500 or fewer employees here. Mm-hmm. And we just felt that it was extremely important to let them know that this program is available. The banks are working on the details, but they should go ahead and start submitting things now before the stat gets incredibly too high. And it's great that we also have some local banks here, like one person that we had quoted, that they're willing to work with the organizations here because they know that these are their clients. They know them like face to face and want to help them survive because they know that our community depends on them and they depend on those banks.
And you mentioned UVA. You also have a reporting partnership with UVA student paper, the Cavalier Daily. How is that working, especially now that most of the students have gone home for the semester?
It's been really impressive because those students, they're still plugging away with getting their newspaper out, although they're all working remotely. And we felt that it was important for us to be in a partnership with them during this time because UVA is one of the largest, if not the largest employer in the area. And those students really much they know more about what's going on at the University of Virginia than anyone else. And they've have done some great, really in-depth stories on what's been going on there. And they've broken a few things so far in the past 2 weeks. That was a bit surprising. That's like, well, the staff's not on the ground, but they learned about all of these things before anyone else did. So it really gave us that insight of this is what's happening in like this big looming organization that outwardly has completely shut down because of the pandemic, but things are still moving forward there.
Elliot, I'm wondering how the precautions that we all have to take because of the pandemic are affecting how you do your jobs on a daily basis at Charlottesville tomorrow.
It's been a little weird because our offices are in kind of a open meeting space in downtown Charlottesville, so it was a lot easier for us to interact with each other. It's just we pop downstairs and we can hop over to City Hall, or sometimes the officials go on their way to something else and they pass us as they're on their way to somewhere else. And so it's just been a bit strange to having to do everything virtually, trying to get a hold of some people that were easier to contact over calls or emails. And occasionally they're hard to get because everyone's still trying to balance what's going on at home on top of their work. That we've had like some officials that don't respond until 8 or 9 p.m. because their kids have gone to bed and finally they can get to their work.
Right. Well, Elliot Robinson joined Charlottesville Tomorrow as its news editor in August 2018. He's also worked as a reporter and editor at the Richmond Times-Dispatch and the Daily Progress. Elliot, thanks very much for your time. I hope we can check in with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You'll find those stories and more through links we posted at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. And you can access Charlottesville Tomorrow at cvilletomorrow.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. I hope you stay safely connected and do enjoy your Wednesday.